Okay, so nakalimutan ko na rin yung sasabihin ko kasi... And then one of the ways that we can serve God is you can pray with me, okay, with this. And of course, kasama ko rin naman po kayo dito, and I would like to plug this. Join me every Friday at Heartline. So kung meron po kayong sa radio or even Facebook Live, nandun po kami sa 702 DZAS. So every Friday po. So pray with me as we minister to the larger body of Christ. So today we will continue our sermon series entitled Saved to Serve. So, but before that, I will show you a movie clip coming from the Facing the Giants, and let's watch this movie clip.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I don't want you giving up at a certain point when you could go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground. Just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go. Show me good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Am I at the 20 yet?
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just resting a second.
You gotta keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on, keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm by his strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going, you hear me? You keep going, you're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit. No. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Brock Kelly, you don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. Go, Brock Kelly. You don't quit on me. No, you keep going. You keep going.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Oh, tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock.
So here's the question. Are we really giving our best when it comes to our service to God? That's the lesson that we will learn this morning. Serve God with all you've got, with everything that we've got. Let us, may I ask all of you to stand and open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 to 15. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 to 15. The Word of God says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." May God be praised for the reading of His Word. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, once again, we come before You. We humble ourselves before You, Lord. Lord, I know and I understand, Lord, this is again a hard thing, Lord God, for us to apply. But Lord, I pray, would You please empower us, enable us, that even after the service, we will choose to serve You with everything we've got. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our passage today is taken from the book of Joshua. And if you will notice, it's already at the last chapter of Joshua. So in order for us to understand chapter 24, let us see the whole book. Let's have a survey about the whole book of Joshua from chapter 1 up to chapter 23. And here's the chart of Joshua. I got this from Stephen Andrews, and it was published by Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary. First, about the claiming of the land. That is in chapter 1 up to chapter 5. Remember, when Moses already died, the Lord appointed Joshua to be the next leader. And here's what the Lord promised to Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "The Lord said, 'Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.'" That's the promise of Yahweh to Joshua. And right after that promise, Joshua said to his people, in verse 10, "And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, 'Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions. For within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take the possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess.'" So Joshua believed on the promise of God, that God already has given them the promised land. So for Joshua, his vision is already theirs. So he claimed the land. After that, chapter 2 onwards, that's the claiming of the land. And then moving on to the conquering of the land in chapter 6 to 12. Remember, the first land that they conquered is the land of Jericho. Remember the walls of Jericho. And many skeptics do not believe that that indeed happened, that narration. Remember in chapter, that's the story when they march around the walls at least 13 times. Because 6 times for 6 days, and on the 7th day, they march 7 times around the walls of Jericho. And what happened? In Joshua chapter 6, verse 20, the wall fell down flat. And it did, it happened. But others said that in archaeology, they cannot find the walls, or they have some question about the authenticity of this narration. But take note that in chapter 6, verse 24, Joshua, as recorded here, "And they burned the city with fire and everything in it." That's why they can't find anything, because it was recorded that they burned everything in Jericho. And then after that, you all know the story, they conquered Jericho, and then in chapter 7, there's somehow, because of the disobedience of the Israelites, somehow they failed in conquering Ai, the land of Ai. But in chapter 8, the Lord has given them the land of Ai, going on to chapter 12. And after that, there's the colonization of the land. They began to inhabit the land in from chapter 13 to chapter 21. And listen to this. In Joshua chapter 21, verses 43 to 45, and this is very important because this is the very reason why Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Look at what he said in Joshua chapter 21, verses 43 to 45. Verse 43, "Thus the Lord gave to Israel all the land that he swore." So God is a promise keeper. He swore to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it, and they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their fathers. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them. For because the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. And look at verse 45. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. All came to pass. That is how God faithful is. All came to pass. Okay. Now, not only that, Joshua was already old by this time. Going towards chapter 24, he was already old, and he knows that his time here on earth was limited. That's why he said in verse 14, Joshua chapter 23, verse 14, he just repeated this in this verse 14. Look at what he said. "Now I am about to go the way of all the earth." He knows that he was about to die. "And you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word," again, look at that, repeated. It's putting emphasis. Okay? "Not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed." Not one of them has failed. Okay? Here's the theology of the book of Joshua. Because God is a promise keeper, he is our faithful God. That's the main lesson of the whole book of Joshua. God is faithful. Because look at what he said, not one of them has failed. And indeed, God fulfilled his promises to the Israelites. That is why in chapter 24, somehow this is a word of a dying person. If we are going to listen to a person who is about to die, we will listen carefully to what he was about to say, right? Because here's a dying person, and here's what he is trying. Here's his wish for the Israelites, and here's his command for the Israelites. Now, because of all of these things, because God is faithful. In Joshua chapter 24, from verses 1 to 13, he just narrated again, in summary, what God has done for them. Again, it's like saying, in view of God's faithfulness. That's why he narrated again all the things that God has done for them, verses 1 to 13. In view of God's faithfulness, what are we going to do? We ought to serve God wholeheartedly. Look at what he said in verse 14. "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness." Again, in view of God's faithfulness, that's the very reason why we are going to serve him, because God is faithful. Okay? He said, "Now fear the Lord and serve him." The word fear there, it means to stand in awe before the Lord. That's the Hebrew meaning of the word fear. To stand in awe means to honor God, to revere him, to worship him. That's what the word fear there means. And the second word, the second verb there is the word serve. Now, what's the connection between serving and fear? Because also in the Hebrew word, the word serve, it also carries the word to honor him. So fear, to honor. Serve also means to honor our God. So that's the connection between serve and the word fear. Now, for this sermon, we'll just concentrate on that word serve, or serving the Lord. Now, it is quite interesting to know that in the English Standard Version, you know that in the whole book of Joshua, the word serve appeared 19 times. Okay? The whole book. And in chapter 24, 16 times. So, come to think of it, 16 out of 19, the word serve can be found in chapter 24 of Joshua. So, how about that for emphasis? I think Joshua is really making an emphasis, because God is faithful, we ought to serve Him with everything we've got. 16 times in chapter 24, the word serve. You will be able to read that when you read chapter 24. And the word serve also, it means to work for someone, to accomplish, and to honor. Putting this together, we are to honor God by accomplishing the God-given work in His ways. Not in our ways, but in His ways. And then Joshua said, we are to serve God with sincerity, in sincerity. The word sincerity there, it means whole, blameless, without defect. So we are, God is calling us to serve Him in sincerity, wholeheartedly, not half-hearted. But we should be wholeheartedly serving God without any defect. And it says there also, in faithfulness. Faithfulness there means in continuance. So we are to serve God continually with our whole heart. That is what Joshua is trying to say to the Israelites. You are to serve Him. So, in other words, we have to serve God with everything we've got. Now, I just want us to reflect that for a moment, because God is not only faithful during the time of Joshua, during the time of the Israelites. How about in our time? I want us to understand that as a church, we have seen how God worked in and through GCF New Valley. We have seen how faithful He is month after month, how He's providing. That's why we are still using this place. So we have seen how faithful God is. Now, not only as a church, but what about individually? I know, I understand reality. The reality is that we have troubles in life. Not because God is faithful, we will no longer encounter troubles. That's not true. There are troubles in life. There are challenges in life. Perhaps you are here, you have troubles in marriage, troubles in health, or even in finances. Perhaps you are also in trouble with your relationship, with your siblings, with your friends. We encounter many troubles in various kinds. But, the very fact that you are here right now, it is a testament of God's faithfulness in your life. The very reason why we can still stand up is because God is faithful. God is faithful in our lives. He still gives you the strength to come here, to worship Him through songs, by listening to His word. God is faithful. God is faithful. And I want you to remember that how the Lord had dealt with our past problems, how the Lord sustained us in the past, because we know if He was able to sustain us in the past, He will be able to sustain us today and in the future. Because God is faithful. He is faithful. Now, because He is faithful, one of my devotion this week is this, based on the book of Ecclesiastes. What I learned is that when we encounter good things, when good things happen to us, we should rejoice. Of course, we ought to thank the Lord when good things happen. But when bad things happen to us, we should reflect. Okay? When good things happen, rejoice. When bad things happen, reflect. Reflect on what? We need to reflect on the lessons. Because once we find the lesson in our troubles, in our challenges in life, so still, from our experience, it's not wasted. God is faithful. He is teaching us through our circumstances. So remember again, when good things happen, rejoice. When bad things happen, reflect. So you can still see who God is, that He is our faithful God. So in view of God's faithfulness in our lives, what are we going to do? We must serve Him. Serve Him with everything we've got. Serve Him wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly. Let me share to you a story that I read from the book of Roy Zak. This story is about an elderly widow, restricted in her activities because she's already old. But he was still eager to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But because of her age, after praying for that matter, she decided that although she could no longer do much walking, to give tracts, to share the gospel, what she can do is she was able to play the piano. Okay. Now, because of her old age, she cannot do, of course, the physical activities, and she thinks that I can play the piano. So what she did was the next day she placed a small advertisement in their own local bulletin in their community, and it says pianist will play hymns by phone daily for those who are sick and despondent, and this service is for free. So just call this number and I will minister to you by playing hymns, whatever your request. And true enough, people called her because there are so many sick and despondent, you know, they are depressed. So they called her and she will ask, what hymn do you like me to play for you? And then she will play the piano as they listen through the phone. And not only that she played the piano, but frequently people will just pour out their hearts to her. And in that way, she was able to minister. She was able to share or serve God by ministering to people. She was old. Now she thinks of other ways on how she can serve God. And she said, that service became the most rewarded thing I ever did in my life. Serve God with everything you've got. There should be no excuses. Sometimes the very reason why we can't serve God is because we have so many excuses. Sabi nga natin, di ba, sa Filipino, kapag gusto, may paraan. Kapag ayaw, madaming dahilan. But in view of God's faithfulness in your life, serve Him with everything you've got. Serve Him. There should be no excuses. Francis Chan said, when it comes to serving, lukewarm people will serve God and others, but there are limits to how far they will go or how much time, money, and energy they are willing to give. And I believe GCF Nuvali is not a lukewarm people. Amen? Amen. Mahina. I believe that GCF Nuvali are not lukewarm people. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. We are going to serve God with everything we've got. Remember, He is our faithful God. So we are to serve our ever, ever faithful God. In the New Testament, it says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful to us. So serve Him. Serve God. Serve Him and no one else. Look at what our passage says. Put away. It said, put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Now Joshua said, put away. That word in Hebrew, it means to remove, to take off, to take away. It is like removing your soiled clothing or your dirty clothing. You are taking off your dirty clothing. You are getting rid of your dirty clothing. That is what Joshua is trying to say to his people. Get rid of all the gods that your fathers served. Remember, they conquered different lands. And for each different lands, they have their own gods. And the very reason why Joshua said, don't even intermarriage with them, because I don't want you to be swayed to go after other gods, because you are to serve Yahweh and Him alone. Yahweh and Yahweh alone. That's why he said, get rid of all the things that might hinder you from serving Yahweh alone. Now, in the New Testament, for us, Jesus called his disciples to serve God and God alone. Remember in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, this is what the Lord Jesus has told us. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money or any other things for that matter. You cannot serve God or anyone else or anything else. It's either you will serve God or serve others. You choose. The choice is yours. But you cannot serve both. Because what the Lord wants from us is our undivided attention. Now, we must understand that whatever we are doing right now, we should focus on God. Whether in your office, in your business, in your school, even in your home, I want you to do that as an act of service to God. It's not a competition, okay? In our service for God, everything that we do, we can do it for His glory. Just make sure that you are doing it right, because remember, you should be doing it for His glory. Whether in your office, your workplace, in your business, in school, or even in home. But sometimes, as I call it, reality bites, we are being sidetracked by other things. Instead of focusing on God, we tend to focus on other things. It's easy for us to be swayed, our minds to be swayed from other things. There are things that we no longer work for the Lord, we are no longer doing it for the glory of God, but rather to gain material possession. That sometimes we are so focused on our career that we no longer have time for God. Sometimes we are so much engrossed with our business that we no longer have time for the Lord and even for our family. And it's also true for me as a minister that I am so busy with the ministry that I no longer have my own time with the Lord. All I thought is that I am serving Him through the ministry, but I'm just serving the ministry. I'm not serving God. I remember I had my time last Friday with my mentor, and he told me that he saw my Facebook, my timeline in Facebook, and he said, "It seems that you're everywhere. How's your time with the Lord? Are you still serving God? Or you're just so engrossed with the ministry that you are serving the ministry, no longer God?" So it made me reflect. I know my destination, but what about my directions in life? So in our work, in our school, in our businesses, are we really serving Him? Here's really what's happening. Generally speaking, sometimes when we ask God for a job, for a business, or we ask Him, "Lord, would you please give me a good grades?" What happened is that when God answered our prayer, what happened next? When we ask for a job, oh, the Lord gave you a job. When the Lord asked you for a business, the Lord gave you a business. But reality is what happened next is we shift our focus on our job, on our business, no longer with God. I want you to understand that you can serve God through your businesses, through your jobs, through your school. It's not a competition because it's a good gift coming from the Father. But don't lose your focus. Focus on God. Focus on Him. O.S. Hillman, he's a marketplace leadership, he said this. Medyo nababasa ba? Medyo maliit lang. You may be called to be a mechanic, a doctor, a secretary, or a CEO, or an employee, or a student. Know that your calling is equal to that of the pastor or vocational Christian worker. The key is to be where God has called you and to live for His glory in that place. You are a servant of the living God, masquerading as a mechanic, as a doctor, as a CEO, as an employee, as a student. But take note that you are a servant of the living God. Do not let your work, your business, your school, your home to become a hindrance for you to serve God. Remember this, where you are is why you are. Where you are is why you are. God has placed you there for a specific purpose. And you can serve God wherever you are. And of course, that doesn't mean that we no longer need you. That's the very reason why we have this sermon series. Because we're inviting workers in order for you to help us here in our church, in our local church. We are inviting you to become one of our ushers, the music ministry, in our Sunday school. We are calling you to become a member of GCF Nuvali and come and join us in serving God through our local church. But I just want you to see the whole picture. It's not just in the four corners of this church that we can serve God. Even in your workplace, in your school, wherever you are, you can serve God. Serve Him. That's just a matter of perspective and focus. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. And the very reason also why we have this sermon series is because I want us to serve together. That is what Joshua said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So let us serve together. Remember, Joshua asked them, whom are you going to choose? Are you going to serve the gods of the other nations or Yahweh alone? But as for Joshua, he made up his mind. He said, but as for me and my entire household, I will serve the Lord. He will be fully devoted to Yahweh. That is his declaration to the Israelites. And my prayer is that as a church, as one family, this is not only for my family, but as one family, GCF New Valley, we are one family. My prayer is that may we be able to really declare, as for me and my household, the entire GCF New Valley, we will serve the Lord. We will serve Him. Now, how can we serve Him with everything that we've got? Let me share this to you. In closing, let me share this to you from Focus on the Family website. Here are some things that we can do together, okay, as a church, so that we can truly say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, we can teach Sunday school together. So if you have that heart, if you want to become a volunteer, especially in reaching out the next generation, our children, please do join us, our Sunday school. We can teach together our Sunday school. We can work together in what we call our nursery room, especially for the young children. Or we can mentor younger couples or the new parents. For those of you who are already, mahirap naman tuwagin twilight years, di ba? Those of you who are experienced already, you can mentor the younger ones. We can serve together. Serve the church as greeters, as ushers. Perhaps together with your children. I think it will be quite behold to see when families are ushering. You know, the parents, including their children, they're ushering other families inside. It's a beauty to see. So we can work together. We can serve God together. Or even offer according to the website, you can offer to babysit for couples in your church. Because parents with younger children are often in desperate need of alone time for shopping. And I praise the Lord for that because some of you are offering your time. Pastor, you can bring your kids to our house so you and Christine can go out and have a date. And there are, through it, then there are really couples who are offering their home that we can bring Kyla and Toby to just play with their kids while me and Christine go on a date. Have a few church kids over to make gifts for their parents. Have a cookie baking fest with a few couples in the church, then share your baked goods. Offer to help single person decorate her home, especially now it's Christmas time. I think we have single parents here. Why not? Let's offer our time. Let's decorate your home together. That's part of serving God, serving one another, or even teach adults or children if you have this skill in woodworks. It's about time. Instead of them spending time, you know, in their iPods, how about teaching them how to do things, woodworks? We can serve together. If you're a mechanical or a handyman, help a single mom or an older couple with their car maintenance or help them to fix their house. We can serve. Church, we can serve together. My prayer is that may we truly be able to say, as for me and my household, and you are my household here, the entire GCF New Valley, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve Him with everything we've got. No excuses. No excuses, GCF New Valley. Again, no excuses, GCF New Valley. Amen. Amen? Serve God with everything you've got. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, this encouragement. I just pray, Lord God, would you fire, Lord God, fire up our hearts to really have this conviction to serve you with everything we've got. There should be no excuses, Lord God, when it comes to serving you. Not only, Lord God, inside GCF New Valley, but even more so, Lord, outside of GCF New Valley, in our neighborhood, in our workplace, in our school. Lord, help us to have this understanding, this focus, that we are doing everything for your glory. So, Father, in everything, Lord God, may we be able to serve you with all we've got, with everything we've got. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.